I'm not pulling out of my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work, coronavirus edition. So I've been having different various R&D folk of present and past to come talk about sets. And here's something I've never done before. Talk about the new set with somebody. So I have brought on Ari Nee. So Ari, hi.
Hi, Mark. How are you today?
So we're going to talk Strixhaven today. So this was the very first set you worked on, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Not the first one to come out, right?
No, I was on teams for sets that have come out before. Like I was on Kaldheim, I was on M21. But when I walked into the building and you got pulled into meetings to start designing stuff, like Strixhaven was the first meeting, the first set that I was working on.
Okay, so, and you were on, we started on Exploratory. So you were on the Exploratory design team, you were on the Vision design team, you were on the set design team, right? You were...
I was on set just for a little bit.
Not
for very long.
So let's...
For all of Vision and most of Exploratory.
We're going to go way back to the very beginning. So what is your memory of the very beginning of Strixhaven? It's called fencing in design.
Right, so we knew it was going to be opposite color... enemy color schools, like five schools, mage factions within a university. We knew it was going to be a instant and sorcery themed set because that was something people had been asking for a long time, and it fit the creative really well to have a wizard university that's about instants and sorceries. We knew we wanted the enemy color factions to be based on the conflict instead of on the overlap, so that they were going to be pretty different from the corresponding Ravnica guilds, because what's the point in like doing a five factions of two colors each if they act exactly like the Ravnica guilds, then setting it on a new world, you're not getting as much excitement and novelty out of that. But we didn't know what the actual mechanics of the set were at all, so that was one of the big things we did in Exploratory, was like try a million different spell mechanics. And also we tried to like nail down, okay, what are the five colleges? What do they study in each college? What is the like mechanical theme of each college? So that was during Exploratory.
So I've previous podcasts where I shared my version of how we made the colleges. So I'm curious to get your take on what is your memory of how they came together?
I was looking through sort of our old notes from the meetings and things like that. And they came together sort of at different speeds, right? Like, I think we decided, I'm trying to remember which ones were immediately the right thing and which ones were not. I know white, black and blue, green took a little longer. Red, blue being elemental magic, we knew like basically right from the start. It was like, yeah, definitely the red, blue people do elemental magic. But we had them on physical sciences instead of art for a while before they turned into art nerds. And I think that was like the Izzet are basically doing blue stuff but in a red way. What if we flip that and we do red stuff but in a blue way, right? What if we have artists but they do it in this really refined and like studious and careful way, and that's what the Prismari can be. Black green, I don't remember exactly. I think we knew black green was going to be like biological sciences pretty early on, but I don't think we came up with the life gain theme that early. We knew it was going to be about this, the central conflict was going to be life versus death, right? So It was clearly going to be sort of somewhere in that space, and we knew it had to stay off of Golgari, so we were going to avoid too much graveyard stuff. Blue-green being math came a little later. Like, we tried a bunch of things for that. We were thinking about some kind of philosophy, maybe, because the conflict between blue and green is about real versus unreal. But eventually we came to this, like, Platonism versus formalism conflict in mathematics, right? This debate over is math created or is math discovered, which felt like a very blue-green kind of debate.
How about Lorehold? What's your memories of Lorehold?
I think originally it was going to be like the military faction in some sense. Not military like police like Boros, but like history of warfare, things like that. I don't remember when we came up with Lorehold being graveyard. We definitely did want it to be, I think, really mechanically distinct from Boros, and I think we were pretty successful there. But when did we decide that it was history? That one might have been history fairly early on,
I think we were history pretty early on.
I'll look back at our notes.
Yeah, the thing that I remember is the conflict of chaos versus order, you know, is very organization-driven, people-driven, you know, and the idea of like, red, white caring about society as a whole felt interesting because red and white are the two colors that have the most connection to people, but in very different ways.
Yeah, I think we might have also been considering, like, a political science or area of study that, like, that had captured the question of, like, the competing philosophies of, like, anarchism versus authoritarianism for the red-white conflict. But, yeah, it was always going to be that conflict.
Okay, so let's talk about exploratory. I know you looked at the notes, so... Yeah. What are some things we didn't do, but we tried?
Oh, we tried some wild stuff. So I think we knew fairly early on that what we were going to have something like Magecraft. Like, it ended up being just Magecraft, which was very simple. And, like, it could have been something weirder. But we knew we were going to have some mechanic which cared about casting a bunch of instants and sorceries. And... So then there was this question of how do we get the density of instants and sorceries in people's decks high enough that this is a viable thing? Because normally if you don't have enough creatures in your limited deck, you just kind of lose games randomly from not being able to do enough things, not being able to be proactive and attack and things. So we tried lots and lots of mechanics that let you cast more instants and sorceries. I think one of the first ones... that, like, maybe this was something that I was trying to push in my first week there, was cards that would create token sorceries that you would put in your hand and could cast from your hand like a real card. That was one of the things we tried. And I think that, like, and they had different effects depending on what color of mana you spent on them. Another thing we tried that was pretty cool... was this might have been one of George's mechanics, was this a different kind of learning thing where, like, creatures had study counters on them, and they would come in with a study counter, and then you could tap them and remove a study counter to cast a spell, right? So if you had some pyromancy student that came in with a study counter, then you could tap it and remove a counter and pay some mana, and it would cast Searing Spear. And it would put an actual copy of the spell Searing Spear on the stack and do 3 damage to something and also trigger your Magecraft or whatever. So that was pretty wild.
Yeah, we later, when we turned over the set, we actually had something set called Scrolls that were artifact tokens that had spells embedded in them. And when you sacked them, you literally cast the spell that was inside them. Some came preloaded with existing magic spells, and some you could, like, imprint spells on them to sort of save spells. I think that's an offshoot of some of the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, this was kind of an offshoot of... I mean, it's kind of an offshoot of both of those ideas in a way.
Yeah.
I remember, like, working with Donald Smith on a cycle that would, like... cast some really iconic instants or sorcery from the past, like they would make a scroll, right? Mm-hmm. And they all made the scroll under different conditions. And the cycle of spells was Armageddon was the white spell, Time Walk was the blue spell, Demonic Tutor was the black spell, Wheel of Fortune was red. And then we're like, crap, there isn't a green spell that is anywhere near to being on the level with those four. So I think we went with Glimpse of Nature, but it was like, oof, that's unfortunate. You know, there's really no green sorcery or instant that like is a big, you know, impact like that. They're all enablers like Cultivate and things. So.
Okay, so here's something else I remember us doing. We also, so we messed around a bunch with how to make instant sorceries matter. I know we also messed around with some mechanics that we felt like school. I know we were, so we had one mechanic where the creature had two abilities, but it didn't have them yet. And you had to do something, and then you would open up that ability, and then now it had that activated ability.
Yes. So that was literal level up, but instead of spending mana, you just tapped the creature, right? And that represented studying. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to the library, and I tap, and my text box doesn't change because I didn't lift weights in the library, but now I have an activated ability where I could loot or ping or something because I learned how to cast some magic.
And it wasn't quite level up because you had two options, and you could choose which one you wanted first.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So, like, for example, let's say you have a red creature, and maybe it has an activation that tapped to do damage to something, and has another activation that's like fire breathing or something, and then you could choose. You could tap it and learn. Learn's a bad example because there's a mechanic called learn, but you could study or whatever. I think we actually called it study. You could study, and then you could either get the tapping ability that did damage, or you could get the fire breathing ability, and then you could later study and get the other one. But you could do it whatever order you wanted.
Interesting. I don't remember that, though I vaguely remember something like that from a different team, but there's so many mechanics that we tried, like it all blurs together.
Yeah, so that's so the audience understands. Like, the role of exploratory design is we're throwing spaghetti at the wall. Like, we're the idea is we don't go deep on anything, we go wide, so we're just trying lots of different things. And then in Vision, we start committing to things and start making decisions and start going, like, down certain paths and go deeper. And the mechanics we're talking about, some of them are exploratory, some of them actually happen in Vision. But we try a lot of different things, and that, like, one of the things that I'll ask you this question, Ari, see what you think. What percentage of Magic cards made during the whole course of design see print? What percentage do you think?
Over the whole course of design.
Of all the cards we make during the whole course of design, what percentage actually see print?
I'd say about 15%.
Wow, that's higher than I would guess. I would guess a little lower than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends how you count, because we also make cards that evolve over time. I'm not sure how you count some of those.
Yeah, it's hard to say how you count. But if the question is, like, what percent of cards, like, that were in the Vision design handoff get printed verbatim, I would say, like, 1%.
Yeah. So, anyway. I think 1% to 2% is more where I put the, like, of all the cards we make, ones that actually end up getting made. Because we try a lot of different things. Yeah. And we do a lot of play tests. And it's sort of exploratory. One of the ways we do exploratory, it's easier in non-pandemic times. But normally what happens is people will come up with a mechanic, and then the designer who comes up with it, or maybe someone else came up with it, but we'll make decks, and then we'll play decks. And, you know, you'll take a... Usually we have simple decks that are like, you know, core set cards. And then you make anywhere from like 6 to 8... of the new mechanic and throw them in.
Yep.
A little more depending on the mechanic sometimes. But and then we play them and get a sense of how they play. And then there's three buckets in exploratory. It's, this is good. Vision will see it. We don't mess with it anymore. This is bad. Vision knows not to mess with it. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Or maybe we should look at this a little more. And sometimes we'll play around with things to see if there's a tweak that makes it better. And sometimes we'll tweak mechanics some. Okay, so do you have any memories from any stories from early either exploratory or early Vision?
Yeah, so this is my favorite story, which is the very last day of exploratory design. We like spent a lot of exploratory design working on spell mechanics and a lot working on defining the colleges and deciding, okay, what are they study there? What kind of style of magic do they do? What's their central conflict, etc. And we hadn't spent a whole lot of time on school tropes. So Mark was like, all right, for the last day, try to think of, you know, things that deal with schools, and like we can make some decks with those and playtest those. Now, one of the people on this team was George Fan, who was working at Wizards at the time, the designer of Plants vs. Zombies and Insane Aquarium and a lot of other really awesome sort of wacky games. And George has kind of a wacky streak. So the school deck that he brought was Fish Tribal, and it had a bunch of cards like tuna and mackerel, and they would like cascade into other fish because they were schools of fish. If that did not end up making it into the set, but, you know, maybe someday, you know, if we do an underwater world or something, we'll have some schools and we'll bust out those George fan designs.
We visit the underwater school of Arcavius.
Yeah, like we've only visited the land schools. Like, who knows what else is on the world?
Right, the air school, the sea schools.
Arcavius is a big plane, and we're only exploring this, you know, Strixhaven. So,
yeah, it was fun. George came to work at Wizards for a year, just as a sort of a bucket list thing he had always wanted to do. In fact, he was going to work for 6 months, and he had so much fun he stayed for another 6 months. But George was on the exploratory. So, exploratory was me, you, and Sydney. Sydney Adams was exploratory, and then Vision was me, you, George. Yanni Skolnick went on to do the set design, and I mean, I'm forgetting one person. Andrew Dean.
Yeah,
he was my strong second. Andrew Dean was my strong second. So that it was the five of us in for the majority. I think a few people rotated in and out at the beginning and end, maybe, but that was the main for the majority of it. So this was your first set you really had worked on, and the first set you had started. So as someone who played Magic their whole life, what was it like sort of experiencing, seeing a Magic set being formed from the very beginning?
I mean, it was really exciting because exploratory design is very blue sky, blank slate, like anything goes, right? So like I was allowed to try things that I knew perfectly well did not work in the rules of Magic and probably had pretty severe implications for the game, like token sorceries in your hands, right? Like putting tokens in your hands, just not something Magic does. But like getting to play in that area and like try sort of really outside the box things. And that was super fun. I think I was vaguely aware that, like, you know, of all the things that happen in early design, most of them never get used, and that's just kind of okay, right? That's like part of how the sausage is made. So that wasn't particularly surprising to me, but yeah, it was also really interesting, just like how much playtesting goes on, right? That like, where people think of design as making up cards and then like developers playtest them sometime down the road, right? That like playtesting happens after design, and that's not really the case, right? Like that we're continuously playtesting and iterating. Nothing goes in that hasn't been tried out at some, you know, within a few weeks of it being come up with. There's no like just make a bunch of cards and then later on we'll see if they're any fun to play with.
I mean, another very unique thing of the early part of the process is a lot of the later part of the process is refine, right? Is something exists and you're just trying to make it better. But the early part isn't refine as much as what is it? What is the thing in the first place? And like the interesting thing about Strixhaven is we came in knowing way, way more than we normally know. Like all the things you listed in our first meeting, we knew all of that, which is... there's a lot of sets where, like, you know, when Ikoria starts, like, it's monsters. That's where we started. It's, you know, it's a monster plane. We had very little to go on other than, like, a basic theme. This one had a lot of structure. You know, we knew it was enemy color. We knew it was faction-based. We knew it was spells matter. We knew the trope space we were playing in.
And, like, now that I've been on more teams, I feel like coming out of fencing exploratory, we actually had much more useful stuff to hand off than some exploratory teams have, like, or much more, I would, maybe useful is not the right word, but, like, more concrete and refined, like, okay, here's a list of like, what the five colleges do, what they study, what their central conflict is, their magical style, their personality, and we had some, you know, some pretty solid mechanical ideas, although a lot of those changed throughout Vision and set design.
So here's another interesting thing. Your background is in academics.
Yes.
So, and Matt, for those that don't know, I mean, math being your big thing. So what was it like working on a set that's, the subject matter is, you know, an area of expertise for you?
That was a lot of fun because I, you know, I got to try to design cards that specifically evoked some mathematical concepts. I don't know that any of them made it into the set. Like I think I had some plant that like made a copy of itself and then put counters of varying amounts depending on which one was bigger. And basically it created the Fibonacci sequence. I think a lot of those didn't make it in. But one thing I remember doing was pestering Doug Beyer at some point and being like, hey, here's a bunch of words that would be really cool to put in the flavor text of these Quandrix cards or to put in their card names. And I also said, like, could you name a card Natural Transformation? Like, just for the math nerds out there, they would love it if there were a card named Natural Transformation. But I think a lot of these cuts were a little too deep, so they didn't get in there.
I mean, there's a Quandrix does have a decent number of. I mean, I think yes. They're not quite as deep, but yeah.
Yes, I mean there's a good reason that they don't let me name cards or write flavor text.
Okay, so looking back at Strixhaven, now you've now worked on a bunch of sets, obviously. Mm-hmm. What stands out in your mind is the most unique thing about Strixhaven?
The most unique thing about Strixhaven, I would say lesson learned. Like this, I think it's a use of the sideboard that's really pretty unorthodox. I can't think of anything in that vein we've done before. I mean, companions were also made use of the sideboard as a reliable thing you could access, but in a very different way. So I think lesson learned. It's super innovative.
Were you on set design?
The flavor of a school pretty well.
Were you on set design when they pulled in lesson learned, or was that after you left?
I don't remember. I think it was either it was after I left, but also I think I was actually on set design not immediately after Vision, but like a month or two later. Like I think I got randomly pulled in for 1 month when they needed a person, and then I was off the next month. Just because of how scheduling worked out.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Lesson Learn is the in Kaladesh we had made the inventions, which is sort of the precursor to the Lesson Learn, but it got artifacts rather than getting instants and sorceries. And what's really interesting to me is we were trying to make it work and it was complicated, and we ended up cutting it because energy was also complicated. But it turns out that getting instants and sorceries made it easier to develop than getting artifacts, which is not something that it's not something I would have even thought of. Like, it matters what the subset that you're getting is, but it turned out that it flowed better for a lot of the dynamics of what makes that kind of mechanic work.
Now, to what extent do you think that was because we were doing fewer colored artifacts at the time of Kaladesh?
That was part of it. The other part is, while you can make artifacts that mimic sorceries to a certain extent, you know, like you can definitely, it's an artifact that comes and you sack it. So like it has a sorcery feel. We didn't want to do too many of those cause then they didn't feel super artifacty. Like you can get away with some of them. And so just the nature of making them feel artifacty made us want to have some number of more permanent things. And I think this mechanic just works better where it's more fine-pointed. You get something and you're done, sort of. You know, that's why instant sorcerers, I think, work a little better. But yeah, when Kaladesh was happening, right, colored artifacts weren't... I mean, obviously the Gear Hulks existed, but I mean, it was a minor thing that we did. It wasn't a major thing. You know, now it's an evergreen, we do it all the time thing. I think if we had had colored artifacts then, that would have helped a little bit, right? The fact that anybody could play anything really... complicated some of the balancing of the mechanic.
In fact, that reminds me of a story from Fencing Exploratory.
Okay.
Like, well before we were talking about Lesson and Learn, we did spend some time talking about, okay, what are some other magic school tropes? And we were like, potions, right? What about brewing potions? And so I think I made a deck that like fetched potions from your sideboard, right, that were colored artifacts that you could use to gain life or make your opponent lose life or grow a creature or whatever, you know, do things that a potion would do. And you were like, hey, these are Kaladesh, you know, what was it called?
Inventions. They're called inventions.
Yeah, you just reinvented Kaladesh inventions. That did not work out so great for us before.
I mean, they weren't bad. It was just, I mean, the real problem in Kaladesh was it was very complicated, and energy was very complicated, and basically it was like, you can't do both. I'm like, well, energy is more important to what that is, so.
And I mean, also, that wouldn't really have made sense in fencing, because, like, fetching artifacts from your sideboard in a set that's all about instants and sorceries, which would just be sort of a mechanical division from the main point of the set. But the fact that we eventually decided, oh, let's just do this with instants and sorceries and call it Learn, like that made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it is interesting how one of the cool things about you, we make a lot of mechanics, as you explained now, like an exploratory, we'll make all sorts of things. And what happens is most of it doesn't work. I mean, and not because the mechanics aren't good, but that's the other thing people don't seem to understand. It's not like the mechanic's a good mechanic or a bad mechanic. Is does it fit this set and the needs of this set? And so a lot of times you make really cool things, and, well, they don't fit here, but you sort of keep them in your mind, and then later on when you're doing other sets other places, you're like, this thing that we did back there maybe would work here.
Yeah, like there's a mechanic in Marathon right now, right, which I believe I first pitched during Hockey Exploratory, so
yeah.
H to M, you know, it's been it's been a while, and the mechanics changed several times since then, but yeah, now I think it's a good mechanic.
Yeah, and like I had Ethan on Talking Call Time, and like there's a mechanic called Layaway that I made based on a Star Wars trading card game mechanic that, you know, kind of, I mean, was part of Fortell, was very similar to what it was. And, mm-hmm. You know, so it is interesting. I mean, one of the things that's, as we talk about Strixhaven, it's kind of funny how, like, you're seeing all the sets around it. You know, like, we'll make things, and some of the stuff goes here, and some of the stuff we borrow from elsewhere. Okay, but we don't have too much time. I'm almost to my desk here. We don't have too much time. So, Strixhaven, any other interesting vision, exploratory vision, sort of memories of the set?
I think I told all the most interesting stories of mechanics we tried out. Like, we had a lot of things which let you copy spells or, like, circumstantially flashback spells. Oh, there was one version I liked. This was a learning kind of mechanic where, like, you cast a spell and then you exiled it, like, with learned by one of your creatures, and then you could tap that creature to cast it once more from exile. So sort of like flashback, but they could, like, kill the creature if they didn't want it getting flashback.
Oh, right. You taught the creature the spell, and now the creature could do the spell. I remember that. Another thing that we messed around with a bit is we tried to do mechanics that copied spells for a while because part of Magecraft was it triggers not just off the spell being cast, but a spell being copied as well. And I know we tried to... Oh, do you remember Familiars?
Oh, yeah, Familiars, yes. So those were pretty cool. Like, you would... So you would pay some mana and discard a... or exile a spell from your hand to create a token, and then you could cast the spell from exile, and it was cheaper, I think, depending on how many familiars you controlled.
Right. Well, there were
different versions.
There were a couple of different takes on it. The one I'm remembering is we had an ability word called familiar that all it cared about is, did you have an artifact creature token? Not artifact, sorry. Did you have a creature token?
Oh, did you have a creature
token? Did you have a creature token? Yeah, and it gave a rider to the spell if you had a creature token. Because one of the things about the... because we were trying to make spells matter, you have to keep the density of instants and sorceries up, but you still need creatures. So creature tokens made a lot of sense because an instant or sorcery could make a token. It's still a creature, but it counts for your instants and sorceries. Right. And so for a while, we had a mechanic, or is an ability word, but it rewarded you for having creature tokens. And so it sort of said, hey, you're in school, you kind of want a familiar with you. And we messed, and then we for a while had a mechanic where you could kick to make tokens, right?
Yeah, where there was kick to make tokens, there was kick to copy myself, just to, like, get an extra Magecraft trigger out of spells.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about bringing Replicate back as well, and then we talked about a one-shot Replicate where you only ever could get one copy.
Yeah, I think it was called Fork or something.
And the funny thing, so talk about bringing spells from the back. We had a mechanic for a while where you kicked to get a creature token. That was taken from Ixalan. Ixalan had used that originally. We didn't end up using Ixalan, but... So it's like, Ixalan tried it, didn't use it. Strixhaven tried it, didn't use it. Man, one day we'll find the place for it.
Yeah, I feel like people have this idea that, like, we work on one set at a time and, like, come up with mechanics for a set. But it's more like, you know, we're always working on 5 sets at a time up and down the pipeline. And so it's like a gigantic kitchen where people are picking up and putting down ingredients. Like, what's that game, Overcooked? Have you ever seen this game?
I've not, but okay. A similar thing. So, Yeah, the other thing, interesting thing is, like, one of the things as the year progresses, like, there's a mechanic coming out later in the year that we just made for a completely other purpose somewhere else, and the set was just looking for something, and they're like, oh, this looks cool. I think it might be a mechanic you made, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a mechanic I made, and it switched from one set to a completely different one.
Yes, but well, I guess we'll tell that story when that set comes out. But
yeah, we'll tell that story later.
But it's very funny how you made this mechanic is really cool, and then a set that was further along needed a mechanic, and they're like, "That's cool, we'll take that." one of the rules is the closer you are to release, that you have priority. And so if you like, because the idea is the set that's farther back has more time to find a replacement. And so if a set that's closer needs it, they can steal stuff. I mean, there's some exceptions, but they can steal stuff. And so, anyway, that's a story for another day. But anyway, Ari, it was fun. Thank you for coming and talking Strixhaven with me.
Yep.
But I see my desk. So we all know what that means. It means this is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. So thank you, Ari, for being here.
Thanks, Mark. Have a good day.
And guys, I'll see all of you next time. Bye-bye.